Public Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. I prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. 9 years after the SEC, the Securities and Exchange, asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, I guess I can call myself what I prefer, six-pack Sally. Now, friends and family do call me Carrie Devra. After all this time we're now spending together, you can call me Carrie. You can call me. I want your stories. I want to know if you weren't into a FINRA arbitration. Oh, do not worry. Do not worry. They can't bind you to that confidentiality agreement. They hold you to a different standard than the investment advisor that you took into there, who did not belong there either. Read FINRA's website. Read the website of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. And note, take note, you have to get your signature notarized. The investment advisor you sued, they don't notarize theirs. Why? Ah, hang out with me a little bit more. Pull up a chair, pour yourself a cup of tea, or some Java. Now, you've heard the inspirational story of the golf balls, the bottle and the sand, I guess? No? Oh my goodness, let me share it. I love it. Getting to the nuts and bolts of the story, a professor comes to class with a bottle. The professor drops golf balls into the bottle and then fills the bottle to the top with golf balls. So then the professor picks up a bag of sand. The professor then empties into the bottle. With his stance watching as the sand fills in around the golf balls in the bottle. The professor stands, showcases the bottle of the golf balls and sand to his students, showing it from the left, to the right, to the middle, to the left, to the middle, and says this, "This bottle of golf balls and sand is life. Rough edges and empty spaces are filled in with character and courage. I'm telling you, I'm sharing this journey about character and courage. So as you deal with your investment advisory, as you're being told you have to go to a FINRA arbitration by a lawyer that you're believing is telling you the truth, not their truth, that they profit from, I'm telling you this so that you learn to trust in yourself, to be whole, to not lose yourself, to not lose your life quality moments to the likes of the Don Bennetts, Bernard Madoffs, the FINRAs, because every moment you give to them is a moment you lose of yourself. Believe in yourself. You are better than you give yourself credit for being capable of. Yes, trust your gut. Trust your intuition. When something doesn't feel right in a matter with FINRA, with fraud, speak up, speak out. The only thing you lose is you. Fill in your golf balls, the spaces, with your own truth. Believe in you. The last conversation you expect to be hearing from a whistleblower. But of course, it's a lesson I learned, being batted around, being told I did not know what I was doing. Because this wasn't what I did. Of course it wasn't. I was just a designer, an artist, and eventually retrained in other ways. I was not a Wall Streeter. OMG, we got courage. We got character. We have more than they do because we don't hustle victims. So there's a lot of news going on in the DMV, DC, Virginia, and Maryland that are shades of Wall Street crimes. You know, a thief is a thief, and a criminal is a criminal, and a case before a judge is a case before a judge. And what one judge says, well, in a murder trial, for example, still applies to a case in a federal court when a judge is looking at situations, but through the purview, through the perspective of their eyeglasses on their level of law. We are going to definitely learn more about law levels and plumb lines. I'm going to make sure you are very, very, very clear on it. But the murder that I'm talking about was referencing that had me perk my ears up as I'm listening to the news was the murder trial of criminal Daron Wint. He's the lone person convicted in the D.C. mansion murders. He's facing sentencing. And if you read the sentencing memo, it outlined chilling details not heard in court. Well, there's a reason. There's a reason those details may not have been heard in court. They may not have been known at the time that the charges were made. And judges and attorneys in the theater of court, they operate on what is in front of them. We oftentimes hear people say they didn't bring up his past. If the filing attorneys didn't bring up his past, then it's not in that window. So in the case of the DC mansion murders, a tragic, a horrific case, prosecutors said that Wint's lack of remorse, Wint's lack of empathy, a reason to throw the book at him with no chance of parole. I bring this up because I sat in court, pretrial hearings in Greenbelt Federal Court in Maryland. I sat there hearing judges, each one in their own oversight realm. I heard judges pointing out lack of remorse, lack of empathy by Don Bennett. I sat there from one trial of a young African-American dad in Judge Paula Zini's courtroom. She was running a little bit late and this matter was being heard. Judge Zini commended the young man for the reports that came in from pretrial that noted what he was doing to better himself, that noted what he was doing to show remorse, to show empathy. Something Judge Zini kept saying wasn't seeing from Don Bennett. Something Magistrate Sullivan said he didn't see from Judge Bennett. Imagine extradited from New Mexico, brought to Greenbelt Federal Court within minutes of being charged, leaves the courtroom a 15, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-minute car ride to her condos, not one, condos, side by side, butted together, one for her living space, one for her clothes. I kid you not, the FBI pictures were amazingly shocking. 15-minute car ride. I think it was close to 2 hours later, pretrial notes that she showed up. Her reason? She said she got lost. What the U.S. attorneys and the FBI proved, she bought a burner phone. She made calls to victims. The court said, do not call. Now, we're all above the age of 12 here. We understand that do not call, coming from the mouth of a policeman, means do not call. Well, Wint was cited as showing lack of remorse at his sentencing. April 8th, sentencing for Don Bennett, sentencing for Bradley Maskow. I am waiting to hear how their cumulative lack of remorse will add up in the sentencing decision. Now, while Wint may have been the only person participating in his crime, we never know when it comes to these statements made in courts. Sometimes not everything is as it seems. And this is clearly not the case with Wall Streeters and others. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, uses its ALJ court, administrative law court, as a duck blind, a way to cover up others involved, a way to preset who the SEC determines will be the fall person. Now, let me make it very clear. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is not law enforcement, although it pretending to be so. The SEC is a regulator. Oh, I love this comparative I give to the commissioners at the SEC, nose to nose. I remind them they are like a snipped dog, neutered. No balls, all bark, no bite. In the SEC, I read the laws in the books. They're supposed to turn crimes over to cops. The cops at the SEC is supposed to turn the crimes over to. The law enforcement is the federal level of law enforcement, the DOJ and relevant agencies. But the SEC does not. Why? A federal game of broken telephone that is exacerbated that few SEC employees actually know the laws Congress writes, that laws that are intended to protect investment clients. Well, welcome to Government 101. You are going to get quite the education here. Now, Don Bennett is my model through which I figured out SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission failures, and through which I figured out FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority crime. FINRA is a private business. As the expression says, one wheel, many variations thereof. So there are many models, and the fact is, though, that said, that a private business is a private business, and a government agency is a government agency. And pretending to be a government agency, pretending to abide by laws and rules that are for a government agency, is a little bit of a crime, you think? Looking through the model of Don J. Bennett, through the model of USA versus Don Bennett, Bradley Maskow, and DJB Holdings. Well, Wint is said now for his sentencing to have worked alone. Well, everybody knows Don Bennett did not work alone. It was well publicized on her website, on her social media, on her alleged radio show, that self-bought Sunday Hour that pitched her product. Oh, we are going to talk about her guests. Don't be impressed. Don't be impressed. They're selling something themselves, their clients, their want for money coming in. We are going to talk about that. Don Bennett's group that she worked with, Stuart Rogers, Tim Augustin, Bradley Maskow, Michelle Morris, and Kathleen Pruce. Now, we're not noting that she had interns. Yes, they came from a D.C. intern supply agency. She had lawyers that were not even licensed to practice law in D.C. You have to be licensed with the D.C. bar to work as a lawyer. They were not. Bennett's group financial services client Cash did not even have a brokerage relationship with brokerage Western International Securities. Another company had the brokerage relationship a Bennett Financial Group had. It was not Bennett Financial Group that Barron's deemed number 5 of women investment advisors out of 100 women advisors across the country, that Barron's alleges Winner's Circle, the entity Barron's had absorbed to vet out these top 100 personalities. No, as it turns out, Bennett is not the first Barron's Winner Circle winner that end up in post offices, so to speak. Bennett's Winner Circle win is the Barron's Winner Circle notable. Barron's is never going to forget. I told that to Gary Holland, former publisher of Barron's. At some point along my whistleblower journey, Gary Holland, former publisher of Barron's, at some point never spoken with me, never emailed me. I had called him and emailed him asking for specific papers on Don Bennett and to meet with him, to let him know nose to nose what I was doing. Never responded. Then one day, via LinkedIn, asked to connect with me. I figure, why not? Why not let Holland see what I am doing to shut down FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority? Why not let Holland see what I'm doing to shut down Barron's, that has a history, if you look online, a history of victims coming forward saying, I was attracted to this advisor because of their ranking on Barron's. We never got any papers in discovery in FINRA from the respondents, Bennett, Western, and JPMCC, who was not named, but their papers were asked for. We never got those papers. What we got was zip, zero, nothing. So I figure, why not let Holland see that we know what his game is and hold him accountable as an accessory before, during, or after? For a second, I did consider disconnecting Gary Holland, Barron's former owner, from my LinkedIners. You know what? I figured I would do as the adage says, hold your friends close and your enemies closer. Holland is not my friend. I have no hesitation to let Gary Holland know his heels are being nipped at. The Securities and Exchange Commission tells people wrong information. The people buy into FINRA's curated truths. Why not let people understand? Why not help people understand how to listen between the words? SEC, they advocate for their constituents, the securities broker-dealer firms only. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, it advocates for its dues-paying members business league, a 501c6, for securities broker-dealer firms only. Do you hear the word investment client in there? No. Do you hear the word investment advisor in there? No. Securities broker dealer firms only. Why? The HELL hockey sticks. Would you believe people that don't advocate for you? Judges Palazzini and Magistrate Timothy Sullivan got her. They got Don Bennett's number almost immediately. Dawn Bennett flushed her staff out with interns from colleges, interns who are now moved on to other businesses with lessons they learned from Dawn Bennett, from Stuart Rogers, from Bradley Maskow, John Corey, Timothy Augustin, Michelle Morris, and Kathleen Proust. This is scary. First of all, investment client firm interns have no licensing, and they're doing the work on our private papers? OMG. Now, Wall Street crimes are not reported to cops. I've identified that. I've made that public. I've made FINRA shake in its boots. I've identified and made this clear, so the SEC is quaking in its boots. the likelihood of anyone other than the SEC selected sacrificial lambs, in this case Don Bennett and Bradley Maskow, being served up to center the case around, the others, the interns, the lawyers, the associates, they are out there in the cold, able to victimize again and again, as did Michelle Morris victimize again in Virginia this time. Cut loose from the agency that she most recently was cut loose from, that she worked with, she goes on, maybe not working with another FINRA member for the moment, maybe given a time out until she pays a fine, referred to as barred, one of those enigmas that Main Street understands in a different way than Wall Street means it. FINRA is not an association for investment advisors. It's like getting caught shoplifting in Macy's, and being barred from Macy's does not mean you cannot go and shoplift in Nordstrom's or in Forever 21 or Zara's or H&M. It just means you can't go into that store's chain. Interesting, isn't it, for you to begin to understand why Wall Streeters don't go to jail for crimes you and I would. Let's do the FINRA and the SEC fraud math. Now this: multiply the number of victims by the number of causes of actions, times that times the number of criminals the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and FINRA turn over to cops, and you get nothing. Goose egg, Zippo, but of course. FINRA and the SEC do not turn criminals over to cops. Therefore, these are not statistics reported to FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, a bureau of the U.S. Department of the Treasury whose mission is to safeguard the financial system from illicit use, combat money laundering, and promote national security through the collection and analysis and dissemination of financial intelligence and strategic use of financial authorities, which is what they say. My experience? Let's talk later. If no one drops a dime, there will be no one serving time, so to speak. If no one drops a dime, there is no crime reported. Madoff's crimes went on 50 plus years. Your host, I'm the one that let the Southern District of New York know that when they took Madoff to trial. They had no clue. So I'm going to continue to let you know sands that fill in around pebbles, the crimes of Wall Street, so to speak. I keep hoping each case I hear of more elder abuse, a Wall Street industry plague, will be the last time I will hear of yet another elder being financially abused. When pigs fly, as the expression goes, when pigs fly. So I am doing everything I can to get these Wall Street porkers airbound. I keep making notes. I make lists, like the number of times I read of an elderly person with cognitive decline filing a case against a Wall Streeter, being characterized as if that person, that elderly person with cognitive decline, could file their complaint against the brokerage, being alleged that while being of cognitive decline, that they were of sound mind, capable of making that decision? According to the trade magazine, the 70-plus-year-old woman, the 70-plus-year-old woman with cognitive decline made the decision to arbitrate privately against the defendants instead of in the public courtroom where, as I tell you, it says on FINRA's website, instead of in the public courtroom, the magazine alleges the move illustrates a continuing trend of big firms maneuvering to keep litigation out of public arenas and in control of industry forms such as FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority arbitration. Tell me, are there other industry forms such as FINRA? Well, I think so. FINRA's website does clearly state on that guidance page that investment advisors go to JAMS or AAA, not to FINRA. FINRA says that, not to FINRA. In fact, FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, is not a forum Congress approved to keep litigation out of public arenas and in control of industry forums. Congress never gave the ability to FINRA. Congress gave rules for the SEC to follow. Congress told the Securities and Exchange Commission multiple forums for issues between securities broker-dealer firms only. Multiple. One only. Documented. One only. FINRA, formerly known as the NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers. Name change, 2009, and I believe I can document publicly why the coincidence of why 2009 FINRA morphed out of the New York Stock Exchange, a private business, and the NASD, a private business. Do you smell cover-up? Me thinks so. More so, I think elder abuse is the Wells Fargo-related defendants filing their motion to compel private arbitration on a 70-plus-year-old woman who suffers from cognitive decline to rather having this addressed in the public courtroom where FINRA's own website says it belongs. I think this is cover-up. I know it's cover-up. I know this is FINRA's modus operandi. It's FINRA's trend. Get pulled into a courtroom where there's a chance that the underpinnings of your crimes are going to be pulled out. Claim FOIA, claim government agency, which you are not. If anything is elder abuse, if anything is fraud perpetrated on investment clients, this is it. Fact is, if Congress did not write the law, ain't no way how FINRA or the SEC can do anything without it matching Congress's law we call the Act, 1933, 1934, 1940, and FINRA and the SEC are supposed to know that. The SEC's job is really boiled down to something so simple you can understand it when I say, if Congress said on Monday the SEC hops on their right foot in one place, then that is what the SEC does all day until Congress changes the rule that says that on Monday you can now jump up and down straight or on left feet. The SEC's sole role is to make sure that FINRA does what Congress wrote. They are the implementer, the SEC. You put the staple in where and when Congress says to put the staple into papers, and you pull the paper clip or the staple out when Congress says to pull it out. That's it. No brainer, no thinking needed, no policy writing provided. No, no, no. Proven they've been writing policy. Now we got a problem. Legislators. That is a whole different conversation. Now, the 70-year-old lady, Karen Thompson, sued, alleging her 30-year client advisor relationship with a Wells managing partner, Russell Wixon, was problematic. Don't be impressed by 30 years of a client advisor relationship. Don Bennett's clients had no idea that for all the years of their being her client, that what they had was paper, statements, that is, that she was borrowing from Peter to pay Paul any time a client said, "I need money," that Don Bennett was living a Madoff lifestyle high off the hog. Don't be impressed when you read 30-year client-advised relationship. Question what the client actually knew beyond the friendly face, the friendly voice, who knew what buttons to push. So Miss Thompson's case was transferred from state to federal court. Explain to me this one. It is state that oversees the security industry, not FINRA. Oh yes, I figured out and I share widely how that was done by FINRA and the lawyers that they employ to take care of FINRA's constituency, the dues-paying Business League securities broker dealer firm members. We know that the UCC, the Universal Commercial Code, is oversight of Wall Street, not the FAA, not the Federal Arbitration Act. No, not. So $600,000 was sent from Miss Thompson's accounts to Costa Rica. $600,000 was Karen Thompson's life savings. The case was clear. Wells Fargo investment advisory firm allowed the fraud to take place. The investment advisory firm, not the Wells Fargo securities broker dealer firm. This is a point to make and remember. A point to clarify when it's mentioned, whether it's an advisory firm when the name Wells Fargo is mentioned, or whether it's a securities broker dealer firm when the name Wells Fargo is mentioned. There is a difference. They are not Siamese twins. They are not identical twins. They're not even related by the tenet of corporate structure. They are separate, different entities. Wells' marketing team hyped that Wells advisors, the people that are working as either independent contractors or employees under the Wells Fargo Investment Advisory Services firm, the marketing hyped that their advisors are intimately acquainted with their clients' financial goals and concerns. Yeah, how else do these advisors, the bad ones, then figure out if the client, the victim, is able to pay attention or not? That means that the advisors knew Karen was cognitively on decline. The words financial goals, concerns, and intimately acquainted, that's industry standard verbal flotsam and jetsam. That means that someone sat down with a cuppa, Java and Joe, a bran muffin, and their laptop, and they were paid to write for Wall Street a fairy tale we consumers buy into. It is human nature to believe that the person you're giving your life savings to is as honest as you are. No, 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 if I could say it one more time, not at all. Look, don't shoot the messenger. My experience with Dawn Bennett, that she was and stated into the FINRA arbitration under oath, mind you, which perjured herself, but FINRA said, "We are not going to do anything," in writing. She was hyping custom pitches that she said were curated to each new potential client's hustle and dash, which under a FINRA arbitration oath, if you're not a member, a dues-paying member of that business league, and it owes you no nothing, anything, for going in there if you're not a dues-paying member. It's like a rent-a-room, sort of, where you can go to a hotel where many of the Wall Streeters go and they rent rooms to pitch to unsuspecting victims what they're pitching. Arbitration under oath means nothing in a FINRA arbitration. Dawn Bennett said it was written that her client custom pitch was written. Well, not exactly. And who knows? Maybe intimately acquainted, the words were penned by an aspiring poet, maybe by an intern that was not registered with the securities industry as an RR, registered representative, or a CA, client associate. A proctologist has a closer relationship with his client, his patient. Wells's defendants said Karen Thompson, on cognitive decline, mind you, told Thompson's bank to wire money to the Costa Rican defendant, even stating in their papers that Ms. Thompson was asked over and over and over again about the purposes of the transactions with Wells's people, claiming Ms. Thompson gave detailed, fact-specific assurances the transactions were for legitimate purposes, including paying college tuition for her nephew and for non-FDA-approved pancreatic cancer treatments for her sister-in-law that Wells' people allege Ms. Thompson identified by name. Let's think. Oh, I wish you were there at the trial of USA versus Don Bennett. We sat. The people present in the courtroom sat spellbound to the visual of Miss Bennett in Fidelity Bank with victim Diane Keefe. We're spellbound to hearing the Fidelity security asking Miss Keefe questions and her answering what Don Bennett was telling her to answer, and hearing even Miss Bennett clarifying, shouting over her client to the Fidelity, I call him an angel, by phone, who was concerned for his client's withdrawals, asking questions. Well, thank God that person, that man, that Fidelity security person called the FBI. FINRA didn't. The SEC didn't. And I told them in 2010 there was a scam going on. And if I could figure that out and not be listened to, how in heaven's name could a cognitively challenged elder person have the wherewithal to do anything near on the level that I did all the years I was speaking out, and shut down by the SEC, shut down by FINRA, found in bad faith publicly? If I struggled, I can only imagine what was going on inside Ms. Thompson. Cognitively challenged people are still there inside, silent. Now, somewhere along the line, Ms. Thompson wised up, it is said, and filed a report with the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Department. Been there, done that. Ed O'Connor's daughter stepped in for her dad after he died, and police reports and FINRA claims were filed. Like I said, Ed's dead. The daughters, the families, figure out too late what's going on with their loved ones, their cognitively challenged parents, new best friend that gets money. Ms. Thompson's report said she had no intention of using her money for those purposes. Instead, Ms. Thompson's report said she believed she was helping build a school for needy children, and that the Wells defendants told her to mislead Wells Fargo as not to arouse suspicions. This is sounding familiar. Let's see. Ms. Bennett told her victims that Miss Bennett was financing an orphanage in India. Miss Bennett, for all the years of the scam time I knew of her since 2009, was pushing a charity called They're Just Kids. That was shut down in 2013. 2015 to 2017, the window of time the U.S. attorneys and FBI focus in on the case that the SEC had narrowed to that time. A good reason, because I was the 2009 source for data that was referred to in the SEC first case against Ms. Bennett. And in the second, the fact that the IRS shut down Ms. Bennett's charity in 2013 made no matter to Ms. Bennett. Instead, Ms. Bennett and her team, Bradley Maskow, John Corey, they kept the scam going on, but with a new group of investors. The U.S. attorneys described in USA versus Don Bennett, pretrial, how Ms. Bennett was using burner phones, calling victims the government told her do not call, that Ms. Bennett was asking the victims to sign papers, asking the victims to mislead the law enforcement about the promissory notes that Ms. Bennett wanted victims to sign. It's a good thing the victims are not high profile like Paul Manafort or Michael Flynn. We all now know how it ends when you give the wrong answer to the FBI. Note to selves, when the FBI asks you a question, trust they already have the answer, and they are hoping you'll do something dumb, like lie. Now, Bennett's argument, as the Wells defendants argued, was that the claimant, the victim, Karen Henderson's stories were not viable, claiming Karen Henderson, the victim, told the Wells defendants what to do, creating an image that 70-year-old, cognitively slipping Karen Henderson was the mastermind. Mastermind with a mind that was diagnosed slipping? Oh, it's never the fault of the industry person. Take a moment, read FINRA broker check. It's always the victim's fault. You ever have a challenge with a lawyer? Well, they'll say, but my client told me what to do. So know in advance, you are the fall guy. It's your bad that you made the whomever do it. The usual words we are called are sophisticated investor. Words that imagine that are designed by hires whose job is to find, locate, and pitch keywords that soon part fools with their money. Not that I'm calling you, me, fools, but that's what they do. They have spent the industry slush fund of the SEC and FINRA. The slush fund is paid to these educational funds that they construct, that they give grants to institutions of learning to sit down and create pitches, knowing what we're used to hearing and knowing what we respond to. Oh, I think we understand what this is. They call it analytics. This is the Wall Street version of algorithms, the words that they know we'll buy into, that will let our guard down. The Wells response said Wells should not have followed Karen Thompson's order about what to do with her own money. And Wells demanded that the court send Ms. Thompson's complaint to FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, where Wells argued Thompson's claim belongs, asking the judge to stall the federal action, which in really is a state action, except the way that FINRA gets its guys out there to funky up paperwork. It says on FINRA's website, investment clients go to court. And it says on FINRA website that the agreement to submit to FINRA is post-dispute. That's not what the lawyers tell you. Lawyers that are trained by FINRA as arbitrators. FINRA's special arbitration training, which does not allow people like me, a LACBA, Los Angeles County Bar Association certified mediator, to be included as a FINRA arbitrator. Oh, I cannot wait for our time together when I read you the response. I was denied by FINRA as an arbitrator. It's like, is this even a surprise? Because I know what I'm doing. And I'm publicly exposing FINRA so others can know what FINRA is doing. A post-dispute agreement does not make you go to FINRA. A fraud, a lying lawyer takes you to FINRA. And FINRA turning its eyes intentionally, knowing that you are signing a a firm only post-dispute arbitration agreement. They let you come in. Insidious crime cover-up. Well, FINRA silences victims. Intended. Because your agreement you sign says you're saying you will never talk about what took place, leading me to nickname FINRA the Vegas of the financial world. What goes into FINRA does not come out. Well, except for me. I got my FINRA audio. I made my lawyer get my FINRA audio. I made him get it, demand it, request it within days of our arbitration ending, before FINRA could do to me what they did to another FINRA whistleblower, Mark Mensack. Mark's audio came to Mark, as he describes it, like Swiss cheese, full of holes. See, if a claimant talks, oh, there is going to be hell to pay, the claimant is told there will be money fines and there will be other threats. So victims victimized a second time by the SEC knowing these practices go on, by FINRA hosting the forum for pay. Oh, let's not forget, you are paying your lawyer up front significantly, that is a tough word, significantly higher fees than if you went to JAMS or went to AAA. FINRA taking in investment clients and investment advisor disputes is a cash cow, a cash cow. No wonder FINRA turns its eye to investors coming in to FINRA. No wonder FINRA fudged my arbitration the week of December 2nd through 6th of 2013, fudged it so that I ended up being found in bad faith for truths that were documented into the courts, into the system. Nobody believes victims. Nobody believes investment clients. I did say multiple times in the arbitration, this matter is being looked into by the SEC, the USPIS, and the IRS. Listen to what got covered up. It's the same pattern that took place with Don Bennett victims under the power of their investment advisor doing uncharacteristic things like withdrawing large amounts of money from retirement accounts and sending large amounts of money in Diane Keefe's case to Don's accounts, in Karen Thompson's case to her Wells Fargo checking accounts, then going to the bank's branches to ask that the money be wired to Costa Rico as was directed to Thompson by her Wells advisors. Miss Thompson's lawyers argued that Miss Thompson did the money withdrawal as per her advisor's directions over a dozen times. The USA attorneys argued in the USA versus Don Bennett that Don Bennett's victims took the money withdrawals as often as directed by Miss Bennett. The USA attorneys in Don Bennett's matter showed wonderful layouts by the FBI financial people showing the minute money left Miss Keefe's account, where it went to in Miss Bennett's account, and then where it left Miss Bennett's account, and then went to the money institutions and others that she was spending money on. She was taking from Peter, from her victims, to pay Paul. More correctly, Miss Bennett was taking money from her victims, their life savings, to pay Jerry Jones, the head of the Dallas Cowboys. Miss Bennett in 2007 committed to a 20-year seat in the Hall of Fame in Texas. In Texas. She doesn't live in Texas. In fact, the attorney for Cowboy Stadium said the suites were never used at $500,000 a year of life savings of elderly people, that the seats were never used? Why, I persist, you're getting a sense of it, the patterns. The patterns, maybe if we speak up and share our experiences, our patterns will be further defined. We are not relying on Wall Street, on the SEC. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, is for some reason not working for us. Oh yes, there are many FINRA people that move up into the Securities and Exchange Commission, and there are many Securities and Exchange people that move down into FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. It's about cash. It's about cows. It's about heifers being fleeced. Well, look, I upended the fake history of federal courts ruling that plaintiffs are compelled to arbitrate, and I did that by making sure the SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, saw actual papers, not pleading citing precedences. That doesn't apply here. There are no precedences because FINRA takes the cases away from courts into FINRA's Vegas. The decisions the Supreme Court came down with, pure investment client gold. The SEC versus Lucia, or actually Lucia versus the SEC, an investment advisor versus the Securities and Exchange Commission, and Epic Systems versus Lewis. Associate Justice Neil Gorsuch's opinion is pure gold. He wrote, "The original contract dominates." Hallelujah. Success, no one knows I was involved in bringing about. But the reality of politics is that politicos do not acknowledge nor apologize. There may have been no less than 13 opinions interpreting the Federal Arbitration Act where the justices ruled the FAA, the Federal Arbitration Act, trumped state efforts to regulate arbitrations and to get Wall Street defendants wiggle room to get out of class action suits, citing these arbitration waivers. As for Karen Thompson, she's blamed. The victim is blamed for letting criminals empty her accounts at an age she, with her failing memory, had no idea she was being victim to. Look, investment clients, take heart. Investment advisors, the good ones, take heart. The others, oh, be wary, be nervous, be scared. There are lawyers who appear to have a notion what FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority arbitrations are all about. A law partner in Chicago's Stoll Friedman says, arbitrations are where there are no rules and no exposure. If you did, if I did, what Wall Streeters, what the SEC do and did and does, we would be up the Felon River without an oar in the water. Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com, www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com, and please do LinkedIn. Everyone knows at least one person or one other person who is a victim of Wall Street crime. We can lift this matter together, a matter that is not in politics forefront where it should be. We're all hearing about AIDS still, refugees still, about the wall still, themes that we've heard for decades. We're not hearing about Wall Street fraud and violations of the Fifth Amendment, denial of due process. Denial of due process of our rights should be forefront. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live a life you never could dream of. And they're doing it. And they're doing it off of your time and your dime. So share. Share our podcast. Until next time.
It's a good time.